Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll read verses 1 to 3, and then we'll skip down and read verse 6. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Now in verse 6. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. This is God's word. We are beginning a new series tonight on Hebrews chapter 11. The entire chapter is about faith, and it's somewhat of a companion to what we were doing in the fall. In the fall, we were looking at figures from church history after the New Testament closed that we could emulate their faith and their life. Now we're going back even further to biblical characters and going to Hebrews chapter 11, which gives us a number of people that are examples of faith. The entire chapter is on faith. What does it mean to have faith? What is faith? And it looks at every possible aspect of faith. What is it? What is it made of? How do you know you've got it? How do you lose it? How do you get it back? How does it grow? How does it wane? So the way the writer of Hebrews does this is we have in these introductory verses some general statements about what faith is. And then we have a number of the rest of the chapter is devoted to case studies, examples of how faith demonstrated itself or faith was demonstrated in the lives of other people in the Bible. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to look tonight at those introductory statements, and then each week we'll be looking at one of these case studies and seeing how faith played out in their lives and what we can learn from that. So it comes to me to sort of kick off the series and introduce faith. And as we go into this, you may be thinking, well, I know what faith is. I know what the catechism answer is, and I've been in the church all my life, or at least a long time. I know what faith is. Why do I need it to go through a series on faith? Can't we just have one sermon on it and move on? But it's very practical, if you think about it. In fact, it's the most practical thing that there is. How do you go through life? How do you handle tragedy? How do you handle success? How do you handle failure? What enables you to get through it? How do you deal with the highs? How do you deal with the lows, the challenges, whatever it is? The questions. Some of you are familiar with the story of Catherine J. Wolfe. They spoke here fairly recently during an iLife session. And if you know the story, they're from Montgomery, or at least began their life here together. And then very early on in their marriage, Catherine suffered. It's Catherine, right? Got the name right. Okay. She suffered a brainstem stroke and changed their lives forever. You know, she's physically affected by that for the rest of her life. So the question is, how do you handle that? You know, the Christian, the Bible is very realistic. We're going to have good days and bad days. There are going to be trials. There are going to be tribulations. There are going to be hardships. But what do you have to get through it? How do you navigate? The Bible says, Jesus said, I'm not going to take you out of the world, but I am going to equip you to live in it. And how do you navigate through life? How do you go through it? How do you navigate through the grief? How do you navigate through the sorrow, shame, guilt, fear? How do you handle the successes, and how do you handle the failures, the betrayals, the people that hurt you, the wounds? Well, we do it with faith. That's where we use our faith. In fact, when Jesus was with his disciples in a boat and they were going through a trial, they were in a storm and they were panicking and he was sleeping, what did he say? He says, where's your faith? Get it out. Go get it. Wherever you put it, go get it, because you need your faith right now. Okay, you need your faith. I'm not going to take you out of the storm. I'm going to help you navigate through it. Go get your faith. So we're going to look tonight at what faith is, what real faith is, because there are some counterfeits. And what I want to do is spend some time, first of all, defining faith, and then we'll look at the aspects of faith, or the development, or the stages of faith, or maybe the facets. Maybe a better way to say it. We'll get to that in a moment. So what is faith? Well, the first thing I want you to know about faith is that faith is a virtue. Okay, it's not a behavior. It's not an action. It's a virtue, and we don't really use that word virtue as much as we probably should. What is a virtue? Back up even further. A virtue is a strength. A virtue is the practice of living out on a daily basis moral values and duties. It has more to do with who you are rather than a specific action. So faith is not a specific word. It's not a specific action. A virtue is a voluntary obedience to truth. It's not an action or the absence of action. So it's not like lying or telling the truth. Okay? It's something deeper than that. It's more like a characteristic. It's a part of who you are. It's a change in the very core of who we are. It happens not with our hands and not with our eyes and not with our intellect. It happens down deep within us. Okay, that's where virtue resides. It's more like a characteristic part of who you are. So let me give you a general definition of faith. Actually, we have it in the scriptures. It says faith, verse 1, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So right at the very beginning, we see that this virtue of faith is the conviction of things not seen. Let me put it in my own words. Or give you my own definition. I'm trying to take that definition and try to reword it. Faith is the assent of the mind and the engaging of the heart, the very core of your being, in admitting and obeying unseen truth. Let me give that to you again. Faith is the assent of the mind and the engaging of the heart, or the core of your being, in admitting and obeying unseen truth. So faith is more than the mind. It's not just an intellectual. It involves the mind, but it doesn't stop there. We have to engage the heart in faith. The Bible says man believes with his heart unto salvation. We don't believe with our minds. We don't believe with our hands or our feet. When you believe only with your mind, that's what Pharisees do. Okay, that's what religious people do. Christians who have a real personal relationship with Jesus Christ believe with their hearts. And specifically, faith is admitting and obeying an unseen truth. Okay, this is a Bible. Okay, I can see it. I can touch it. This is a glass of water. It doesn't take faith to believe that this is a glass of water because I can see it. Okay. Faith is not believing something you can see. It's specifically believing an unseen thing. So, for instance, take the example of a bridge, maybe a suspension bridge, or maybe it's one of those, it seems like China is building a lot of these glass bridges for some reason. I don't know what the fascination is, but there's one at the Grand Canyon. You can go to a glass bridge. It's suspended out over, the expanse. It's the glass bridge. Okay, so or imagine some bridge where you have to, you have to trust it. You have to trust its strength. So faith is not believing in the existence of the bridge. You can look and see and verify and empirically validate whether the bridge exists. Okay, so faith is not believing in the existence of the bridge, but faith is believing in the strength of it, which you can't see. Now, there's evidence of it. There's suggestion of it. You can look at some data that points to the strength, but ultimately, faith in the bridge, faith in the strength of the bridge, faith in the integrity of the bridge, you can't see the ability of the bridge to hold you up. You can see the bridge, but you can't see how strong it is. So faith in its strength, you're believing in something that's unseen. And, we believe and we exercise faith every day. I saw a cartoon recently that said there's two folks walking alongside each other, and the first one says, "I believe that Elvis is alive," and the other one says, "I agree." And then the first one says again, "I was abducted by aliens," and the second one says, "I believe you." Then the first one says, Congress and the White House are going to cooperate. And the second one says, you're crazy. You know, not until I say, that's a lot of faith, okay? And, you know, we exercise faith every day. We believe that the sun's going to rise tomorrow. We haven't seen it happen. We've seen it in the past. There's a lot of data to suggest it. And this is the kind of thing philosophers debate about, by the way. David Hume, the great Scottish philosopher, pretty much conclusively proved that it takes faith to believe that the sun's going to come up tomorrow. We all have to believe that the sun is going to rise, that the car is going to start, that the food we order is going to be delivered, that the stoplight is going to turn from red to green eventually. We believe by faith that people are going to learn how to use their turn signals correctly and drive in the left lane only when passing. But there's no evidence of that. I'm telling you, there's absolutely no evidence that that's going to happen, but I believe it. So the object of faith is always unseen. So in verse 1, he says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith, therefore, is the characteristic of admitting and obeying unseen truth. So then he gives us an example. In fact, in verse 3, he says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen, what was made out of things that are not visible. So there you have a case study, an example, he says. You want an example of what faith is? We believe that God, by faith, that God created the world out of nothing. Now, there's a lot, great deal of work and effort that has been put into proving creation by God. And there's a lot of evidence out there to tell us that. In fact, the more evidence we discover, the more the evidence points towards God creating the universe and the earth and us out of nothing. There's a lot of evidence to prove it. But here's the fundamental flaw. Ultimately, we'll never be able to gather all of the evidence and examine all of the evidence all at once in one place and have a mind that's big enough to comprehend and integrate all of the pieces of data. There's never going to be a computer that's powerful enough to do it all. The fact is, you weren't there and I wasn't there and nobody else was. So how are we ultimately going to know? Writer of Hebrews says, we believe it by faith. We believe by faith, we're trusting in the promise of God and His Word. Ultimately, there's a lot of data, but there ultimately the data stops and you say, I'm going to trust the Word of God. So we believe it by faith. We believe that He created the world out of nothing. And by the way, that's very important. This passage in Hebrews is a verification in the New Testament of the Old Testament truth that God creates all things out of nothing. There are several words in Hebrew for the word create, but only one means create out of nothing. It's bara. And that word, create out of nothing, bara, is only used to refer to the work of God in creation in Genesis. It's the only time it's ever used. It's good for us to remember, just even as we were praying, God can create whatever He wants. He can call into being whatever He wants. That gives me hope for myself and for the world that He can do all His holy will. Now, does this mean that the data is less reliable, less trustworthy? No. We believe ultimately by faith in the unseen truth that God created all things out of nothing. Now, in the Old Testament, they were believing. They were saved, we're told in Romans, that Old Testament believers were saved by faith. Okay, Abraham was justified and declared righteous by faith, right? The object of their Old Testament faith was God and His promises. God was promising them something, and they didn't have any empirical evidence. They had signs. God would give them some evidences or some signs, some suggestions, some demonstrations, of it. He would give them a sacrifice and a temple and a basin of water. But what was the real promise? His promise was, I'll be your God forever. I'll wash you. I'll cleanse you. I'll forgive you. I'll take care of you. You'll come home to be with me. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you a home. All of these were unseen future promises, and they had to believe them by faith. So Old Testament believer, Abraham didn't know about Jesus, but he was saved by trusting in God. God and his promises to Abraham were unseen, but he trusted in them and was saved. In the New Testament, we're New Testament believers, and we too are saved and trust in an unseen reality. That's what faith is. I've never seen Jesus. I wasn't at Calvary. I wasn't at the cross. I wasn't there to see what had actually happened. But 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that it is inexpressible and filled with glory. You don't see him, but you love him and you trust him. In fact, Jesus himself said, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And that's you. That's me. If you believe in Jesus, you've not seen. But faith is believing in the Jesus that you can't see. There's plenty of evidence and truth, okay? But I don't have the glass of water. It's not the same. We're trusting and believing in something that we can't empirically verify and hold on to. And faith, therefore, is then the defining characteristic of our lives. It's the last thing I'll say about what faith is. The definition of faith is, Bible says, the defining characteristic of our lives. Galatians 2:20 says, we live by faith. It's not saying that if we stop believing, we'll die. What it means is that every day when we get up, we base our lives on believing things that we cannot see, trusting in things that we cannot see. That's what it means. Faith, a life of faith is to live a life based on unseen truths. Unseen, that doesn't mean they're not real. Okay? And we're called to a life centered around unseen but eternal truths and realities. In fact, the unseen things are more real than the seen things. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's more real. It's going to last. The unseen things, the promises of God, the truths of God, Jesus Christ, forgiveness, justification, adoption, the love of God. We see that the working of that, but we can't. It's unseen, but it's more real. It's more real than this pulpit. The love of God is more real than this because it's eternal. In fact, God himself is the ultimate reality, right? He is unseen. He is a spirit. And we can't see God, but he is the ultimate real. He is real with a capital R. God is the ultimate real. So that's a little bit of a definition of what faith is, but how does it work itself out? Let me spend the last few minutes just talking about how it works itself out in our lives, okay? Well, the essence of faith, then practically speaking, is saying yes to God. Faith is saying yes to God. God calls us in faith, what's happening is God is saying, here are these unseen things. Here's the unseen truths. And I want you to base your life upon this. I want you to make ultimate decisions about this. I want you to entrust your soul to something that's unseen. And in faith, we say, yes, I admit it's come and I agree with you and I entrust myself to this unseen thing. That's what faith is. Faith is coming into whole-souled agreement with God about things, about everything. Faith agrees with God about God. It agrees with God about us, about Jesus, and about life. By faith, we say, yes, God, I believe what you say about who you are. I believe that you're real. I believe that you're here. I believe that you're with me. I believe that you made me. I believe that you love me. I believe that you like me. I believe that you're not just contractually obligated to love me. I actually believe that you like me, that you created me a certain way, that you want to know me, that you want to help me, that you want to be near me, and that you want me to draw near to you. I believe that. I believe that you're holy. I believe that you're powerful. I believe that you're omniscient. I believe that you can make all things new. We believe all of those things by faith. And we say yes to God and believe and agree with God about who we are. We say, yes, God, I believe that I was made for you, that I need you. I believe that I have walked away from you and that the only way back to you is in Jesus Christ. I believe that I'm small and weak and I can't do it on my own. I'm agreeing. I'm admitting. I believe that I'm precious to you and that I'm okay, but I'm safe in Jesus. Faith is saying yes to God about Jesus, about who he is, about what he said and what he did, that he actually lived, that he died, that he rose again, that he reigns now at the right hand of the Father, that he is alive within me and he is with me. And it's saying yes to God about life. It's saying, okay, I believe by faith that now that Christ is in me and with me, that I'm united to him, that he's at work in my life, that he's actually doing things, that his spirit is here, that he listens, and that these things that he has asked me to do, the way he's asked me to live life, the way he's asked me to treat people, the way he's asked me to make decisions, the way that he's asked me to forgive people, and to trust him with events and trust him with my children and trust him with the future. I can't see these things, but he's wanting me to live this way. And I believe that by faith. That's why Paul says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And why in Romans 1:17, we believe it's faith to faith. Okay, it's from one end of life to another. The whole Christian life is faith. But it happens in a certain way, and I want to get to these three elements. Faith comes about, these three characteristics come about in the same way, and we get an allusion to this, if not the whole thing, in verse 6. It says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So how does faith work itself out? Well, it works itself out, and we make a decision. A faith decision in the same way we make everything else, really, when it comes down to it. How do you hire a mechanic? How do you pick a spouse? How do you hire an employee? If you need surgery, how do you pick a surgeon? Well, the first thing you do is you gather the data. There's a rational process. You sift it. You look at it. You organize. You look at the competing truth claims. You compare them. There's reasoning, there's logic, and you look at it. But then secondly, you got to make a decision. You can't just look at the data. You accept the data and rule out what's true and what's not. And then you make a decision based on the data. But then third, you commit. You commit. You get up on the surgeon's table. You go to the restaurant. Okay? You ask the girl to marry you, or you say yes to the guy who wants you to marry. You got to make a decision, right? Ultimately, that's what you have to do. And that's the same thing. Those three elements are all part of faith. There's a rational process. There's a knowledge or hearing where we gather the truth claims. We look at the truth claims. We look at the data about who Jesus, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus do? What's the empirical evidence for that? We look at it. We read his word. We talk to other people. We look at their lives and examine their lives and see how their lives responded to it. At some point in your life, and everybody has to say this, by the way, C.S. Lewis made a great point about this. He said, you can't just come across Jesus and just ignore him. I mean, the claims are too big. The evidence is too great. It's had too much of an impact on other people, and it's changed the world too much to say, I'm just not going to make a decision about Jesus. I'm going to be agnostic about that. I'm going to be indifferent about that. I'm just going to be undecided. when someone says, before Abraham was, I am, I existed, and rise, your sins are forgiven, that demands a response. So we gather the data, And then second, we've got to believe it. It's not just knowing the facts, but we've got to give assent to the truth claims. We've got to do something with it. We've got to accept what's true and reject what we think is false. We have to look at it. Now, I want to say here, faith is not the same thing as comprehending. Okay, that doesn't mean we understand everything. We may believe the Trinity. That doesn't mean you can comprehend it. Comprehend, you break down that word, it means to get your mind around. Okay, I don't understand electricity, but I use it every day. I don't comprehend exactly how an internal combustion engine works. Learned a lot about it, but I don't really fully comprehend it. But I believe in it and trust in it. So it's not the same as comprehending. We can believe and accept things as true and trust in things without fully comprehending. Christ is, in fact, incomprehensible. God is incomprehensible, but he's knowable. And faith is not just believing facts. And this is so important to understand. A lot of people really believe that. It's believing, well, if I believe that God is, there's one God, and I believe that I'm worshiping the right God, and I believe that this is the Bible, and I believe that this, and I believe that, and your theology could be perfect. It doesn't matter. The demons' theology is perfect. They have absolutely perfect theology. But they don't know God. They don't know Jesus. You can believe the facts and still not have faith. Conversely, you can have incorrect theology and still know Jesus. There's going to be a lot of people at the table at the wedding feast sitting next to you whose theology is not as good as yours. I hope you're prepared for that. In fact, some of them may be sitting closer to Jesus than you are, they may be on a first name basis, be laughing and joking. You're like, wow, I didn't know y'all knew each other so well. Now there's still a core set of facts that must be believed. There is such a thing as heresy. Okay. So you can't just deny the Trinity and still be a Christian. That's not what we're saying. But, beyond the core essentials, doesn't matter whether you're an infralapsarian or superlapsarian or pre-mill or post-mill or I-mill or pan-mill or whatever mill you are. Those are secondary and tertiary issues. But the third critical element is to trust, to call upon, to rest, to receive, to accept, to welcome in, to open the door. I don't know if you know, but these doors, those black doors that you enter and exit each Sunday, can only be opened from the inside. Did you know that? They're locked. You can lock them, but the locks can only be opened from the inside. That's what faith is. Faith can only happen when you unlock the doors of your heart and your life and you open them and say, Jesus, I'm ready for you to come in. I'm ready. I'm opening my life and I'm saying, yes, I believe you. I see the facts and I accept the facts and I believe the facts are true. But more importantly and most importantly, I see the truth, capital T, the one who says I am the way and the truth and the life. And I'm welcoming the truth, the embodiment of all the promise, all the unseen promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And the one who embodies all the unseen promises of God, who carries them to us, who brings them to us in his life and in his work and in his being, he brings them. And then the Holy Spirit fleshes them out. He works them out into our lives. Faith is not believing that you faith is not even believing that you have said yes to Jesus. Faith is saying yes to Jesus. There are some who believe all day long, I have said yes to Jesus, and they haven't said yes to Jesus. And they believe that They're a Christian, but they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ because they haven't welcomed him and said yes to Jesus Christ and said, I give my life to you. I'm welcoming you. I trust you as my Lord and my Savior. You can be deluded and believe that you're a Christian and yet have never truly given your life to Jesus Christ. True faith begins when we say yes to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And this is why we talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We say, I've received Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I said yes. Grace is God's presence in action in my life. Grace is God's movement towards us. And faith is saying yes to that, to God's presence, saying yes to that action in my life. Grace is God reaching out to you. Faith is reaching out to God. Grace is God reaching out to hug you and to hold you and to come into your life. And faith is you opening your life and welcoming God in, saying yes, your whole self to the indwelling God who comes in and dwells within us. Let me get to one. I'm going to skip over some things and wrap this up. Steve Brown says it this way. Grace is God saying, I love you. Is that okay? And faith is saying, yes, Lord, it's okay. And I love you too. See, grace is God saying, I love you and I've come to restore you and heal you and save you. And faith is saying, I need to be saved. Yes, Lord, come and save me. It's the receiving of God's grace. Faith is our end, the acceptance of God's gift of his presence in us, the acceptance of his movement towards us. And it's the key to the Christian life. In fact, that's all there is to know. Everything begins and flows from this. This is why the Bible says it's your work to believe, your work to trust, to welcome me in. Faith is freely and wholeheartedly saying yes, turning to God as we are. And we do it once. Faith begins when we first become a Christian, but then we just keep saying yes because God keeps pouring his life into us. He keeps pouring his grace into us through the Holy Spirit. And so faith never ends. That's why we live the life of faith. When we say yes to God, he becomes specifically present to each one of us through his Holy Spirit. Calvin, I'll end with this. Calvin said it all. Faith is not a distant view, but a warm embrace of Christ. Faith is not a distant view, but a warm embrace of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have come to us and you continue to come to us. You are indeed, as one Puritan said, the hound of heaven. You keep pursuing us because your love for us is unbounded. It's steadfast. It's new every morning. And you are speechless. And you dance in your love for us. You dance over us. And so you long to be close to us and have us close to you. Father, give us the grace of faith to welcome your presence and your action in our lives. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.